Luke chapter 11. And we start reading in verse 33 because it leads us to the next subject. And as we go through, before we get into taking the various verses apart, make sure you listen completely through before we get there, because it may sound that I'm one degree or the other when I'm really not. Okay, no man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And now the subject changes. And as he spake, certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness? Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as the graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them shall slay and persecute that which the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. So, somebody aptly wrote, and I'm quoting, a lie which is a half-truth is ever the blackest of lies. A lie which is all a lie may be met and fought outright, but a lie which is part of a truth is a harder matter to fight. And so this lie, which is part of a truth, finds it manifested itself in the hypocrite. The one is as difficult to deal with as the other. And so he names scribes, Pharisees, lawyers. It's interesting. And later on, it's used by the Lord Jesus Christ, they are synonymous with a hypocrite. Their characteristics that follow, and we're going to look at those, are pretty clear. So make sure you know the distinction between a hypocrite and somebody who acts hypocritically. A hypocrite is a lost person. The others may not be the ones who act hypocritically. So Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Probably the classic chapter, along with Luke 11, dealing with the hypocrite. Look at verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more than the child of hell than yourselves. So this is pretty strong language. Hypocrites are actors, whether they're on the screen or on TV, whether they're in musicals, religions. A lot of things can be hypocrites. And so the early church, in the reading of church history, was vehemently against the theater because it was the promotion of hypocrisy. People were pretending to be someone that they were not. That's the whole thing with the theater. It's the whole thing of the movies. The whole thing with much of what goes on, pretending to be something or someone you're not. And in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Christ used the word the most. In the Old Testament, it was Job. So go back to chapter 8. Job chapter 8. And all of these things will fit together. Eighth chapter of the book of Job. And let's look down here in verses 12 and 13. Whilst it is yet in its greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. It's very important. Chapter 13, and let's look here in verse 15. 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Chapter 17, verse 8. Upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. And then chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? Okay, and then let's go to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32. And let's look down here in verse 6. 32:6. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fall. So all of those... Isaiah and in the book of Job, there are others. 1 Timothy, here's two in the New Testament. 1 Timothy. And let's look here in chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Then in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay, all of those are leading in one direction, and it points to the hypocrite as a lost person. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. By the way, you know, when I was talking about the church history and the church being against the theater, and so that's not so anymore. Matter of fact, it's encouraged. It's celebrated today, and not before. Anyway, look at this. Verse 1, wherefore? Who is he speaking to? Saved people. Laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I think, and I guess I really can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself, that I entered into salvation with some preconceived hypocrisies. Again, we could say prejudices, deceptions, things like that. And I think, you know, Peter was talking to saved people, and in all likelihood, we did too. We just, with what we are, what we were. And those things are removed by the Word of God as we allow the Word of God to take root in our hearts. So, going back here to Luke 11, Luke chapter 11, the first characteristic here I want you to look at is in verse 38. And understand, he's talking to the Pharisees. I can make the application way beyond that. And the Lord said unto him, "Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." So a hypocrite is more concerned about the traditions of men and religion than he is the truth of God. If you were to weigh the two, you would see that the hypocrite will side with the tradition and anything that's not necessarily the truth of God. So the Lord ignores what he said, what happened in verse 38. Remember, the Pharisees saw that he didn't wash himself. He didn't clean his hands. And I think he marveled at his liberty. Well, you know, as children of God, we're not in bondage to the opinions of men, what they think. If the application of John 8:36 is true, and I think it is, that the Son that therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The literal interpretation is to serve him. We weren't able to serve him until we were saved, but it's also to be free from the bondage of people's opinion of us. If we were to take all the opinions and consider them as destructive as many of them have been, most of us wouldn't be serving the Lord anymore. I mean, people have said some hateful things over the years. So, more careful about the traditions than the truth. Okay, verse 39. Well, we did 38, right? Yeah, and I read 39. Okay, and so 39, he's more careful about the outward than the inward purity. The inside's not too important. It's more, okay, you didn't wash your hands. As contrasted with what he has done with the Lord or what he hasn't done with the Lord, they would say this is more important, the hands. The hypocrite lives in the eyes of fellow men, not seeking the honor that comes from God alone. They are yes men. Go, hold your place. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Somebody told me years ago that yes men always get ahead. They'll always get promoted. Yes men. Then later, after I found out what God had to say, found out, well, I think I'll go with the not being a yes man. Verse 10. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. And it's pretty clear. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we have a choice. We can be the man pleaser, we can be a God pleaser. And yes, the Pharisees made their hands clean, but they left their hearts just full of wickedness. There's a good verse here in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. In verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. So there's, you know, do you think a hypocrite doesn't profess salvation? Well, this looks to me like they do. They profess that they know him, but then in works, they would deny him because they don't deal with the heart. They deal with the external things that are out there, the things that they have a handle on more than what they don't have a handle on. And in their practice, they deny that out of the heart comes all the evil in Matthew. And really, they would probably say that those wouldn't really be the things that defile a man either. So, more careful about that which is outward than that which is inside, spiritually. All right, verse 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God, that these ought ye have to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Hypocrites specialize in that which is seen, while neglecting that which is essential to a spiritual life. So they tithe mint and rue. Anybody know what rue is? It's a squishy, leafy plant. Kind of a, they say it's fleshy. So it's got texture to it. And that's all they know about it. I don't know if it's a bush, if it's some kind of plant. And, of course, herbs. So that was the important issue. And they were very careful to do that. But they neglected the judgment of God and the love of God. Judgment because they were forgetting about who they supposedly were supposed to be and saying, well, I've done this, so this should be important enough. What did God say? What did the Lord say in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 21? What did the people say? Remember, they stood before God and they said, you know what we did? We did this and we did this and we did this and this and this. And the Lord answered and said, depart from me, for I never knew you. Either work iniquity. So they had missed salvation. They had missed the internal depravity of their heart, and they thought because they're doing these things, then that would win God's favor. Didn't win any favor at all. So when you think to where we are right now already, it's easier to tithe mint and rue and herbs than to live a holy life, isn't it? And we have to be careful. It's easy to substitute things that we're good at rather than things we struggle with and that are more important. These people wouldn't steal a pin from a child or a toy from a child, but they rob God out of their lives. They won't let him have their lives. There's the wall there. They have self-made formalism, ritualism, all to the neglect of the promises of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't want that. So, I think the one illustration I was reading is the hypocrite would not miss the plate passing by, whether that's in a church or wherever they took offerings. They wouldn't miss that. But it would not bother them to go through an entire message without any conviction or giving to God one grateful feeling for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not important to them. What's important is what people see of them, because they think everybody's looking at them, so they have to put on this pretense. That's what a hypocrite does. All right, verse 43. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets. Self-glorification through religious profession. We don't have any uppermost seats. We just have front seats. So we must not have any hypocrites here because nobody desires the front seats, right? But in back, you remember in James chapter 2, it talks about the hypocrisy of treating rich people better than poor people. Remember that? And that we're not supposed to be prejudiced like that. And so if the rich person came in and he was all dressed differently than the poor person, they would bring him up to the chief seats in the front. And if somebody came in and they didn't have that kind of clothing on, they would put him in the back row. No. If I can't be funny about it, then I don't want to do it, but it is what it is. And the whole system was different back then, obviously. Everything that a hypocrite done is to honor himself in his vanity. It just is. It's sad. His God is himself. If I know you can dispute it, and I've talked to people, and they'll deny it, but really, themselves is the God. It moves him, what they do, not the God of the Bible. Somebody said a hypocrite is likened to a glowworm, because it glows and it has light, but if you touch it, it has neither. With a hypocrite, if you touch a hypocrite, he doesn't have any glow or any heat either. All right, verse 44. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. So the character, really the character of a hypocrite is hateful. Although he does everything he can to avoid that being seen by other men. He may manage himself by the way he cleans his hands or however he cleans his feet or whatever he does to give no offense to others that are watching him. But it's God that looks at the heart. He doesn't look at that. I mean, I'm not saying those are bad things, but when you put weight there and not, what does God see? You know, if we give an invitation and I say, you know, what does God see when he looks at your heart? How crazy would it seem if I said, what does God see if he looks and sees your hands and your feet aren't washed or not? Wouldn't make any sense. But in their view, that's what's the most important thing. The hypocrite lives for that which is highly esteemed among men, always. Which in chapter 16, go to chapter 16, Luke 16, in verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Again, it's the Lord that searches the heart. So then, when he's done with the Pharisees, then the lawyer, in verse 45, answers up, and he says, you know, you're ripping us to shreds. You're just taking us to the woodshed. And the Lord answers, woe unto you, verse 46, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. In the margin of my Bible, you know what I said? How absolutely true that is, even today. Even today. Everything is representative of obtaining money and getting settlement in one way or another without any regard for the person. They stay outside. I mean, you can, if you've watched trials, you can have adversaries go after each other all during the trial, and they'll go out to lunch and they'll drink together. They're great friends. It's all an act. It's a hoax. We have a good legal system if you had honest lawyers. But I think most of the time the lawyers are part of the problem. Now, I was talking with Sarah tonight, and she was talking about the judge will have to set an emergency vacate to allow her and the children, two of which are Mike's, of the three, to leave. And so I'm of the opinion, I pray that it'll work, but I don't trust the lawyers and I don't trust the judges. There's too much corruption. and he could, the husband could have much more sway and power with the judge than she ever would. So, you know, if the Lord will have to work on that. So, I'm looking at this. The lawyers weren't exempt from the same denunciation. And so, it's like the, you remember the children's song, "Oh, Sinner Man, Where Are You Going to Run? Oh, Sinner Man, Where Are You Going to Run on that day?" Yeah, the Lord hits everybody. I mean, this was the religious establishment that has moved over, and there's still a religious establishment in Judaism, but the religious establishment in many of the mainline denominations and so forth, and they have the same double standards. Our government, can you see the hypocrisy in government, the people in government, and mandating this and mandating that, and then being exempt themselves? Well, I would think you'd want to set the example. Well, they do. That they're above us. Well, that's not the government we set up to be filled with hypocrisy. So, in a day when hypocrisy is regarded as acceptable and normal, I believe we need to be careful to be genuine before God. Regardless of the temporal benefits that seem to fall a hypocrite's way. Because Galatians 6:7 is still true. Whatsoever a man reaps, that's what he's going to sow. And they want everything here, and they want the attention, and they want to be well liked, and they don't want to show what the corruption and evil that's down inside, and they get away with it only for a while. And then we go back to Psalm 73. Until I went into the temple, then saw I their end, and it's not pretty. Even though, you know, we supposedly have one of the best judicial systems in the world, many other people don't even get that opportunity, and have been cast down and persecuted and killed. But the Lord will weigh it all out, and these people will pay the price. So, hypocrites, this is kind of an unusual way to go on a Wednesday night, but the more you see everything you're reading, almost, in the public venue, is hypocrisy. And you can't allow yourself to be affected by that. You just have to keep doing what we need to do and taking a stand if we get the opportunity to do it. And if not, understanding this is what it is, they're going to get theirs. The Lord is very clear about that. So let's have a word of prayer, and we can stick around in fellowship for a little bit until it goes down to freezing. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. It speaks to every subject. There's nothing off limits. It covers things that we would just as soon not talk about, or in other cases even know about. But yet, we are supposed to be, as a church, we're supposed to be a glorious church, not with any spot or wrinkle. And that would include purging ourselves of any hypocrisies that came into our lives, into our salvation that we took with us. And we can only do that through your word, and side with your word, and to have the victory. And so we pray that we would be true, we would be faithful, we'd be clean, we'd be honest and genuine, and that you can use us for your honor and for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.